everyone. I'm Bronna Breslin.
And I'm Dia Sharma.
Welcome to Yana LV, where we're on a mission to normalize mental health discussions and foster a supportive community. Yana stands for You Are Not Alone, and that's exactly what the show is all about. Here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond, we're breaking barriers and challenging the stigma surrounding mental health. Through candid conversations, expert insights, and personal stories, we're exploring the highs and lows of mental health and well-being altogether. Today, we're thrilled to be joined by current Moravian Academy girls soccer assistant coach and a school-based mental health counselor with Moravian Academy. Carissa has vast experience working with high school students in an educational setting.
So, hi, Mrs. Kuechel. Nice to have you on the show today. What inspired you to become a school-based mental health counselor?
Well, first, thanks for having me on the show. I feel honored that you guys asked. So what inspired me to become a school-based mental health counselor? I initially started college, wanting to be a teacher. I knew I wanted to help people, and I knew I wanted to be a part of, you know, children's lives specifically. I was set on being a teacher, but once I took this one psychology class in my college, I completely shifted gears. It was something that I really just took so much interest into. And then I was actually still in the beginning phases of student teaching in my undergrad. So I was noticing myself going into schools, being a student teacher, and recognizing that, like, I was focusing more on emotions, behaviors, and what kind of support that was within the school. So I didn't see much support for mental health in those schools. And it was something that I thought about, and I completely shifted my track in my undergrad. And that's how I became a school counselor here.
Yeah, that's really cool, especially the fact that you got to, like, switch what you wanted to do in your undergrad, and you chose what you really love. So
it's not easy to do that, by the way. Sometimes like that can be a very difficult thing to try and just switch up, and it causes a lot of fear as to, like, what is this unknown? I've done so much of this side, now going into this, you know, what does that entail? But it actually I think it was one of the best decisions I ever made.
So what's one misconception about mental health in high schools that you wish more people understood?
I would say a common misconception that I see in high schools is that typically a lot of times people will look at mental health as just a phase or not that serious because they're teenagers. And that's not the case at all, really. Mm-hmm. Like, mental health is so real. It affects your well-being. It affects your academic performance. It affects your relationships. So dismissing those struggles as like a phase can really shift people away from seeking support or getting the help they need, rather than, you know, just fostering an open and supportive environment where that can just make a huge difference in helping students feel heard and just valued.
Yeah, and I feel like it's really important too to recognize, or for other people to recognize, how, like, not even just in high school, like, it can start even when, maybe even at, like, as little as kindergarten, just, like, recognizing self-worth, and then, like, I feel like that builds up until your high school career. Yeah, again, like, recognizing, like, even in younger ages than high schoolers, it impacts all age groups.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I also think that many people take physical well-being into serious consideration, like physical health. Mm-hmm. And I think mental health is equally as important because it affects even more, I would say, like your emotional well-being, your academic performance, and just like it takes a toll on you like your whole life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you build trust with students who may be hesitant to open up in the beginning?
That's a good question. Because I think each approach is really different based on the person. I know for myself, like I know that coming into this setting, it's typically uncomfortable. People usually come to me when they're having a really hard time. So it's not like they're coming to me happy-go-lucky. So it can be really difficult to kind of get people to open up. But one thing that I really try to do is I try to just, one, explain the process, you know, what my role is. I think a lot of people think by coming to me, other teachers are going to know what's going on. Other students might find out what's going on. And really just understanding that, like, there's so much confidentiality within my role. And I think it's important that people understand that. I think because of being the girls' assistant soccer coach and having the soccer girls come in and seeing the different students that are in here just to kind of stop in and say hi can kind of make people assume that I'm close with them and I'm going to tell them if, you know, someone comes to me and has a problem with them, or they don't want to come to me because they have a problem with some of the soccer girls or whatever that looks like. I can kind of shield people away from me, and I'm trying to change that. I try to just foster a really opening environment. My office, when I first came in this year, because this is my first year here, it looked a lot different than what it does now. And I really tried to establish an environment that looked almost homey and more comforting rather than an office space that can be a little intimidating. But then really going into like getting to know people, I think figuring out, you know, what people like and starting that conversation by building that relationship is really the biggest thing to get into that trust and to have, you know, students feel as though they can trust or be comfortable expressing themselves in this setting.
Yeah, I think setting and just building a relationship with someone is a big thing in opening up to them, because if you feel safe and comfortable with that person or even in that specific setting, it will allow more of a comfortable and safe conversation between the two.
Mm-hmm. Can you share a moment in your career that deeply impacted you?
Yeah. There has been a lot. And I say that, you know, with a whole heart, because I feel very grateful that I've had a lot of moments that have impacted me. I think instead of focusing on one moment, like I'll share that the most impactful moments to me have been when a student or like a past client or anyone implements something that we've discussed. Maybe it's something that they've been really struggling with and they do the thing. And then they come and they show me with pure joy and excitement and pride that they're proud of themselves for overcoming something difficult. Every time that happens, it brings me so much joy. And that is something I hold on to as much as I can.
Yeah, I feel like when students actually get to open up, then you realize you've done your job.
Like, it's rewarding, right? Rewarding. Like within the question, and that's what I think it is. It's just really rewarding, and it's a really feel-good feeling.
Yeah, how like it is really rewarding for you and for the students. Like that's how you know, like you're fostering such a supportive community, is when you know both of you have really built this trust and have built this path of success for them.
Yeah, it makes me feel like I'm being impactful in some way, and that's great. But it's not about me. It's about them and their ability to be successful and overcome difficult things. Because mm-hmm. It's not easy to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how do you help students navigate the pressure of academic and societal expectations?
That's hard. I think especially with social media and societal norms, which, you know, make it feel like expectations that have to be met by others, right? Something I try to remind students is that it's okay to struggle and ask for help. Knowing that there are safe spaces where they can talk about their stress without judgment, and really trying to teach like the importance of time management and promoting that like healthy work-life balance. You know, breaking things into manageable steps and tasks to avoid feeling overwhelmed. Encouraging taking breaks, prioritizing sleep and eating. Those things are so important, as well as just enjoying your overall hobbies. When you start to shift away from those things, that's when things get harder. You want to make sure that you're implementing the things that bring joy into your life and that also like help you energize and help give you all of the things that your body needs in order to be successful. I think when it comes to managing stress and things like that, there are so many resources that can be utilized that I typically try to let students know of. You know, there's a lot of apps right now for phone, like on your phone. You can just download, you know, Headspace, Calm, there's Breathwork. There's a bunch of different apps that can be really, really helpful and effective. I think another thing when it comes to the pressure of academics, right, is shifting that focus from focusing so much on grades to focusing on growth. Mm-hmm. Instead of just emphasizing grades, right? It's so, so important for you to celebrate your effort, your progress, your learning, and all of the things that you're putting into the classroom, because those are things to be rewarded of.
Mm-hmm. I really like what you said about, you know, it's important to focus on like what you're eating, how you're sleeping, like even breathing, just because I think so many people, including myself at times, like overcomplicate things and like get in our heads about it and then just forget what we really like to do or even like the basics that we need to like, you know, grow in our everyday lives. And with academics, as you said, I agree with you that it's like more about growth than the actual grade, because a grade is like, at the end of the day, I understand it is like a reflection of what you did, but it's just a number, because if you did better than you did last time, that's growth and like your improvement, your learning. And it's like you can keep changing and keep evolving and growing.
Dia and I, like, we both work super hard for our grades, and it can be stressful at times, but I feel like also understanding that your teachers, they're not, like, against you in any way, so you have to really realize that. Like, I feel like that is so important, because once you start going and utilizing, like, things like going after school, before school, maybe even practice, more practice problems, I guess, like, really building more confidence is going to help your mental health.
And even building, like, for example, a relationship with that specific teacher in that subject that you're struggling with. For me, it was chemistry. But I finally reached out to my teacher. He's awesome. But I finally reached out to him. And it was still really stressful. And it still felt a lot. But it was a little bit more manageable just because I knew I had him to help me by my side.
I think that's what happens a lot, where it's like students feel like the teachers are kind of coming against them, when it's like, no, we really just want to support you the best way that we can. And we want to figure out what we need to do in order to help you be successful. Because when students fail, let's say, like, if failure happens, you know, it's not just the student, right? It kind of comes back a little bit on the teacher or the faculty member, and their feeling of, what could I have done different in order to help that student? And if there's ways to be proactive with that and find what works best and advocate for that, it can be so, so positively effective.
In middle school, I was so bad at math, like, terrible. I had, like, straight D's, like, I think maybe even F in math. And then in high school, I started really, like, I guess I wasn't sure of how to handle, like, that academic workload. And I was just, like, in the beginning, I was stressed out. And I was, like, talking to my teacher, Mr. G, I wasn't doing so good. And that teacher helped me so much. I feel like I do have a really good understanding of his teaching style now, and just so much more. And, like, even this year, I didn't do so good on one of my tests. Like, I got, like, pretty bad. So I wasn't even that stressed out about it. But, like, there was a moment where I was like, this is the worst test grade I've got all of high school. Like, this is terrible. But then after just having, like, a 1 minute conversation, it just made my mind feel so relieved. And I just did a few more practice problems, and just, again, just the idea of just really just talking about it can help so much.
Absolutely. Right? Focusing that shift from grades to growth. And then with the growth comes the grades.
Yeah. What's a small habit or mindset shift that can have a big impact on a student's mental well-being?
That's a great question. Where I'm sure, I feel like there could be many different answers based on each individual person. I feel like the most consistent across boards to me would be to practice self-compassion, right? Rather than falling into that self-criticism. How we talk to ourselves is so important. So many times I hear students saying things along the lines of, like, I'm gonna fail, I can't do it, you know, all of those things. But just a simple switch in how you speak to yourself can make a tremendous difference. Instead of telling yourself you can't do something, like, try practicing. Like, this is going to be hard, but I can try, and I'm going to do my best at it. And really just trying to be more positive with yourself. We're our biggest critics when it comes down to it. So if we can be our biggest supporters as well, that can go a long way.
Yeah.
We're going to take a short break. We're talking with our guest, Carissa, about mental health and the educational system here on Yana LV. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
WDIY presents a selection of award-winning podcasts that air weeknights from 6 to 7 p.m. Listen to important conversations regarding art, science, business, health, and more here in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Check our website for new topics and archived programs. WDIY podcasts are on 88.1 FM, streaming at wdiy.org, on the app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Yana LV. We are here with our guest, Carissa Kuechel, and now we'll continue our conversation about mental health in the educational system. So, Mrs. Kuechel, when you talked about a small habit or mindset shift, and you talked about the idea that when we fill our mind with negative words or negative thoughts, I really resonated with that, and I understood that because the past couple months, I've been trying to focus on positivity. Because I genuinely believe if you believe positive or you believe in positivity, you will have a more positive approach into everything that you do. Versus, like, if you think, like, negatively, oh, I don't look like that. Oh, I look bad. Oh, I'm gonna fail. Oh, like, you know, just like negative thoughts, it's going to resonate with what you do.
Yeah, it trickles into other areas of your life.
Yeah.
And even if you're saying like, oh, I'm going to fail this test or I'm not going to do great on this test, just talking to yourself in that way can trickle into other areas of your life where you're not going to feel as, you know, confident or successful.
Yeah.
So Dee and I, we have this like huge thing in anatomy coming up, this huge like practical where you like label all the muscles in the body. And so I was just, like, telling myself, I was like, there's no way. Like, I have such bad senioritis. There's no way I'm going to get this done. Like, I can't even look at it. And then, I don't know, I was just, like, talking to Dee about it. And I was, like, looking up on TikTok. I just, like, think about, like, things. Like, I'm like, okay, what do I want for myself in the future? You know, like, I think about, like, okay, like, maybe I want to be a doctor, but I do want to be successful. But I feel like the only way of being successful is just breathe, just do it. Like, just, I was like watching videos too, so I could see people like relate to how I'm feeling, like, oh, senioritis, but you know what, I'm just gonna keep going. Like, and it just motivates me to see that other people are just going through the same exact thing. Like, you're really like not alone on this. I mean, it's not almost the end of the year, but it's getting to that point where
and also, like, I think burnout is a real thing. Like, if you keep, you know, you keep going and then one point you just can't do it anymore because you've just had enough. And it's like, I think at the end of the day, a lot of it is about mindset. If you keep pushing yourself to a limit, then you're gonna, you know, give up sometimes. So
But I feel like even after burnout, you know, it's not the end of the world.
You can always get back up.
You're not done for. That just means like you worked a little too hard.
How do you handle situations where a student might need more support than the school can provide?
This was a little bit of what I did at my previous job, too. So at my previous job, I was a school-based counselor within Whitehall School District, and I was working with them as, like, an outpatient provider in the school. So there were times where the school wasn't able to have the right supports or they didn't have the supports needed for the student, and they would kind of typically refer out. So when I say refer out, that would mean, like, referring to an outpatient therapist like myself or reaching out if it's in a more extreme situation. There's been times where we've had to send students to the emergency room to be evaluated. We also have risk assessments and suicide assessments that we have here in our system that we would utilize if a student is struggling in maybe that capacity. But there are also times where students really struggle with anxiety or something, and it's just overwhelming and it's taking over their school day or it's taking over parts of their lives, and they really feel like they need additional support, which, where I would love to be that support, I'm only one counselor in, you know, the whole school. So there's only so much that I'm able to provide. So typically what we'll do is I'll reach out, and we have a resource list of a lot of outpatient providers that people have worked with in the past. I also have colleagues that are in the field that have, you know, people that they work with that have openings, and we try to just figure out what we can do and what area they might need that additional support in. But we always try to be the advocate and the resource to help people get those resources if needed.
Understanding that you are like one person and that you're not the cure to, like, you know, everybody's problems in the whole school, but you are trying your best to help each student as much as you can. But
and sometimes, like, I think there are some situations that it's out of your control. But, like, as you said, like, approaching the resource list or, like, asking help from other different sources that can give help to that student is a very wise thing.
What is one piece of advice you always find yourself giving students?
I think something I say a lot to students is, please remember to take care of yourself. It is so important. It becomes so easy to place our needs aside and help other people or dive into other things that a lot of the times are, you know, to be impactful for other people, not always ourselves. And reminding yourself that it is so important to get appropriate sleep, make sure you're putting the right nutrition into your body, make sure you are talking nicely to yourself and giving yourself grace in times where it's needed. It's hard to do that. And I think it's just so important. And how we treat ourselves really reflects then how we're going to treat other people or how we're going to be in relationships with other people.
Like the last sentence that you just said, that how we treat ourselves is how we, like, treat other people. I'm still in the process of accepting myself and, like, truly loving myself, that I, like, feel I need to do that completely in order to, like, versus then being in a relationship with someone else.
And it also helps you, I think, like, know your worth, right? Yeah. Know what you deserve and, mm-hmm. And how, you know, you deserve to be treated by other people yeah. as well.
Yeah.
But also mm-hmm. giving yourself that grace, like, treat mm-hmm. yourself the way that you want to be treated by the other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the idea of, like, self-love and self-acceptance is easier said than done, just because it takes a lot of practice, and it just takes a lot of, as we, like, talked about before, like, a mindset, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen this thing on social media a little bit, like, people hating on other people mm-hmm. with confidence. Like, I feel like that's a big thing. Like, if they have a lot of confidence, oh, like, yeah. oh, like,
oh, they're, like, overconfident. That, yeah, yeah, no.
Like, you're way too overconfident. Yeah, yeah. And it's, like, do you notice how it's, like, those people are just so insecure with themselves. And
yeah.
I feel like that's just the biggest thing, is just to recognize, like, why someone is giving comments mm-hmm. like that, why they're giving such negative feedback that yeah. is just so unwanted. Yeah. Like, uh-huh. what does that say about themselves? Yeah. I feel like it is just a reflection of...
Yeah. You start building your self-confidence up for yourself, like, you start loving yourself. People can tear that down within, like, seconds, just because, oh, yeah. like, by something rude that they said, or, like, it just gets in your head and you're like, oh, never mind, like, you know, I mm-hmm. can't be this, like, I can't do it, like, I just can't. So I just think it's about trying to tune it out. You know, mm-hmm. as you said, Rana, like, they might just be insecure, you know, just mm-hmm. reflecting their insecurities onto other people, like,
yeah.
So how has social media influenced the mental health of students you work with?
So I feel like I could answer this in two very different directions, right? The one direction being, like, it's terrible, and there is so much, like, pressure, I feel like, put on people when it comes to social media and how our appearance should be, how we should act, the things we should be doing on a daily basis. It promotes so many false narratives, but also creates an alleyway for so much bullying. And that is just, like, that can be so detrimental. On the other side, I can say that social media can be really, really impactful and effective if it's being used appropriately.
Yeah.
When you're able to use social media in a way that you're looking for resources, or you were scrolling on TikTok and sometimes you come across videos or things that help you feel like you're not alone, right? Mm-hmm. And other people are yeah. experiencing those things. That's where I feel like it can be really beneficial. But then, like I said before, it can also be really bad, and just, like, how we perceive things and how we are expected to look or believe or act and all of those things. It just, I feel like it can go both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I think, as you said, like, perfectly, social media, like, has its negatives and positives. Mm-hmm. In negatives, like, as you said, that it could be really detrimental to, like, that specific person's mindset. Like, at school, if someone is bullying you or saying really hurtful words, you know, before, like, when the internet or, like, phones weren't as used as it is now, it was harder to, like, reach them outside of school. So then home, even outside of school, was your safe space, if that makes sense. And then now it's kind of, like, they, like, infiltrated that safe space as well. So, like, you're under attack all the time. And then on the other hand, as you said about positives, I agree, like, also, Brana, as you said, that, like, you know, on social media, I think you can find people that mm-hmm. you can connect with and that can understand what you're going through, so.
Yeah, and, like, finding platforms like yeah. these through social media, I feel like, too, and that could just be an alleyway for so many yeah. other bigger things that you can...
Like, too, yeah. And also, even, like, I know we were talking about earlier, like, passions and, like, what you like to do. Even, like, through social media, like, if you're, like, struggling or something, you can also find, like, a support group, or just, like, maybe, like, find a new, like, hobby, like, mm-hmm. even with yeah. social media, so.
Yeah. Right. For me, I might be aging myself here, but Facebook was a big thing for me growing up.
Yeah.
And just having different groups, and even when it came to going to college, there was a Facebook group for my class coming in, and that was how I met a lot of people and mm-hmm. was able to kind of connect with them. So when I went to college, then I wasn't, like, a complete stranger yeah. to everyone and, like, feeling super isolated. I was able to already have built relationships thanks to social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, even for us now, like, on Instagram, like, we have our, like, class of 2029 pages, like, for the upcoming colleges mm-hmm. that we're going to. And I think it's so much... No, I wouldn't say easier, but you just feel more connected with the people that you end up, will end up, like, going to school with. So you're not, yeah. like, feeling anxious or,
There's something comforting about seeing a familiar face, even if that familiar face is someone you've only seen online or whatever that might look like.
Yeah, but, yeah. I agree.
What is the most unexpected lesson you've learned from working in a school setting?
I would say that, like, small moments of connection have the biggest impact, right? So many counselors or school counselors or outpatient, whatever, they go in thinking that their biggest influence is going to come from therapy, right? I'm going to be able to solve this person's problem and it's going to be the best thing ever. But that's not realistic. That's not the case all the time. But what I've noticed is those small moments, those quick check-ins in the hallway of like, hey, I noticed you seemed a little off today. Everything okay? Or remembering something that's important to that person, whether it's like their pet's name or, you know, that they were on a trip last week or that they had something, a big test coming up and they were really nervous about it, and really checking in with them about that. I really think it helps them feel seen. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of helps build that trust as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I said before, you know, a lot of times going into therapy, people think like, I'm going to be that switch that they need and I'm going to be able to fix all the problems, but that's not how it works.
Yeah, I really like what you said about building that trust, because even with my close friends, I feel like just recognizing, or not even my close friends, like other people I don't even talk to as much, like just recognizing, okay, they were not feeling their best at the one point in time, and just for that person, like, oh, like someone
mm-hmm.
really cares, like yeah. someone yeah. remembers me, mm-hmm. you know? I feel like even though it's something small, yeah. like a small comment, I feel like that does make such a huge impact.
Yeah. As like just one quick last thing to say, I also think that just even like recognizing, you don't know like what they're thinking, you don't know what they're going through, and even just like a hello could like change their day or mm-hmm. make their world better. So
absolutely.
So we're out of time for this episode. Thank you so much, Carissa Kuechel, for joining us this evening, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. You can find past episodes and other programs at WDIY.org, on the WDIY app, and on major podcast platforms.
I'm Brana Breslin.
I'm Dia Sharma, and this is WDIY 88.1. We'll see you next time on Yana LV, and remember, you are not alone.